What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And it is Friday. What is it?
February
28th. 28th? Damn. February. It's pretty much the end of the month already. Hey, we've been busy last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Working on some stuff. This scheduling. Were you sick, I think, one of the days? Or was it just work?
It was just work.
It was work, huh? So, you know, life stuff got in the way, but we couldn't put out a couple episodes. We missed a couple of fights. We missed the Dan Hooker.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Tyson Fury.
Dante Wilder. This past weekend.
Did you? I did. I saw, I didn't see the Auckland card with Felder and Hooker. I didn't see the most of the card, but I definitely saw their fight. And I saw the Wilder and Fury afterwards. So yeah, I watched them. They're both of those fights were
Tyson Fury. So he's so good.
Yeah,
they're saying like him and Muhammad Ali are going to be going down the two greatest fighters.
Heavyweight,
mm-hmm.
probably because if you look at the heavyweight landscape and the top of the list, I mean, not many of them can really compete with Fury. So it's
he's so good.
Yeah,
like the way he just broke down. I mean, yeah, he got dropped, but. He is, and then once he got, I think in the fourth, fifth round, he started taking over that fight.
Yeah, started taking over. He took over like early.
Picked him apart.
He changed up his camp, did a whole weight, added more weight. He looked physically a lot bigger, and he used that weight. And he would just like mauled him, just went after him the entire time. Forced him to fight backwards, put his weight on him all the time, and then just kept on.
Great plan. And then like Wilder. Corner ended up throwing the tower.
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up throwing in the towel. He got rocked, I think, in the third. And a lot of people think that he just never really recovered from that initial shot. At first, it looked like a knockdown. But if you on the slow motion replay, it hit him right in the back of the ear. Just knocked him off balance. Just a perfectly placed punch.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I know there's like a rematch clause.
In 30 days, right?
Yeah, in 30 days. So he did exercise his right to a rematch. I think they probably will end up scheduling that rematch sometime later this year, maybe. And then he's also blaming a lot of the reason for his performance was
that's
on
so
his
dumb.
Suit, which
oh
was like
my God.
Roughly a weight of 40 pounds. And he's like, oh, I was wearing the suit for a long time in the back. It took a long time to get out there. And
like he didn't know that beforehand.
Yeah, and I think he definitely didn't know that beforehand because he even I think did like a you know a walkthrough and tried it on the night before and it was like,
yeah, if it was that heavy, then why put it on the next night?
Yeah, I thought it was a great performance. I mean, you know, we don't watch a lot of boxing, we don't cover a lot of boxing on this show, but anytime there's a big fight or like an interesting fighter, definitely catch it.
But seeing the heavyweights fight, they're always exciting because you know they're gonna fight.
And definitely, like this is one fight that you, even if you're a casual boxing fan, you need to watch. It's just like one of those big fights that
it's like a Conor McGregor fight in MMA.
Yeah, you got to watch these two go at it, especially how the last one was, and a lot of people felt like Fury won that fight anyway, and people were not. I don't think the third fight is gonna be that great because we've seen it. We've seen Fury win. How many rounds did they fight? 7 in this one and what, 12 in the last one? So it's like
19 rounds.
Yeah, like, and he's dominated like 17 of them. Mm-hmm. Like it's like,
yeah,
you know. So
Fury has to do is fight Joshua and then he'll be the greatest ever.
Yeah, yeah, which. There's trouble in that, which I know that everybody's contractually under different management, different streaming services. You know, you have DAZN, you have pay-per-view, you have Bob Arum, you have
different promoters, platforms, all that good stuff.
So it's very complicated when it comes to boxing because everybody's so kind of spread out and under different ownership and different umbrellas. So it's like it's very difficult to get those kind of fights together.
Right.
There was that fight, and there was the Auckland. There's Felder versus Hooker. What'd you think about that fight? Did you catch any of the highlights?
Yeah,
at least?
I mean, I felt bad for Felder, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was a close fight.
I really like him too.
Yeah, and it was a close fight. It was a back and forth fight. I think that it was very, very evenly matched, what I think a lot of people expected, which I think neither one of them are big talkers, and it wasn't really a highly, you know, promoted fight, but none of them are really big talkers, so there's that going against them. The fact that they're very evenly matched and without an area that they stand out in, like, that just is dominating in any way. They're very well-rounded guys. Mm-hmm. So I think it wasn't as an exciting matchup, even though people know that those guys were going to bring it. It's just, and they did. It was just like, you know.
Yeah, it sucks. But you know what? Like, Fawn has a career. I mean, he has a future in broadcasting, so.
Do you think he should retire at this point?
Didn't he? Didn't he put his gloves down?
No, I think he was about to, and then I think he might have put it down. He definitely took him off, but he was like, towards the end of his post interview, he was saying that he's going to need to go back and talk with his family and his coaches and all.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think a lot of times when a fighter loses like that, they run out of promotions.
Yeah.
But definitely. No, I think
he realized that too halfway through this. Yeah. His time, him talking.
I think he saw a lot of fight in him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to him retiring either.
But I think he realized was that he put it all out there. He did his best. And it still wasn't like enough. And I think being at his age with his family now, with his a whole other career that he's got going on with commentating and play-by-plays and all that, I think he realizes that, like, is it worth the effort? You know, like, yeah, I can hang, but is it worth the effort to put myself through this and my family through this?
That's
like,
true.
Yeah,
especially when you have a future in broadcasting.
Yeah, especially when you have a bright future like he does.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
At the desk.
Yeah, so it's like, what do you do? I know Duke Rufus is his main trainer, and Duke Rufus is saying that, no, he'll be back, but then it's like, he's also a trainer, makes money off of Felder.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if he doesn't...
It makes you wonder if these guys, like really care about their well-being.
I think they do, but then also there's financial, they have to really consider the financial, like, you know, if they could get a few more fights out of Felder, and give him enough time to like get some high level guys in there that he can make then train and make money off of and all that stuff. Yeah. So, and then eventually he could let Felder go. Maybe he's just not ready to let Felder go in that sense. Like, he's like,
that's sad.
It is sad, but like, I'm not saying Duke Rufus is a bad guy, but
it's business.
It's business. And this personal and this business is personal. Can you retire? Yes. Do you have enough in you to keep going? Yes. Would I be mad at you if you did? No, because I cares about him, whatever. But it's not—he's not getting out there. He's not going out there and getting knocked out or anything like that. Mm. He's just losing by decisions and, you know, maybe whatever. But so
it's,
no,
it's a good justification for any fighter who's questioning himself.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, I think that's what he's doing. And not a lot of guys, but then not a lot of guys are in Felder's position to have a career that he can fall back on.
Yeah, and he works for ESPN. So.
Some guys would just keep on going until they start getting knocked out. So, I don't know. Where does Hooker go from here? I think he's in the top of the division. Is he
top five?
Yeah, is he screaming for a title shot? No. Is he a potential title holder?
Probably
maybe
one or two fights away.
Yeah, one or two fights away. I don't know. I think he looked good. He survived. It was a close fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, we'll see. I thought that was good. I think they had a Primus and Bungard on Bellator. Bellator had two European cards that weekend. So did Ryzen, which both of those fell under the radar. Like, UFC barely had made any buzz. Because obviously with the two guys that they had in the main event, that's about as much buzz as you could really get from those two guys. It's not a whole lot, so they struggle to get viewership. Bellator had three cards actually. He had two in Europe and one over here in Oklahoma, where Ed Ruth and Almazov. So Bellator had a really big weekend and not a lot of buzz. And, you know.
Well, those European cards are always going to the radar.
They do. For they do. Yeah, I mean, it's been fairly decent. A lot of cards with one fights on them, huh? Like, not a whole lot especially of stacked cards. I mean, great fights.
Yeah, I think that Bellator has better cards in a lot of ways.
Overall, yes, yeah, I think so too. But the cards haven't really been that bad for the UFC. They're not horrible cards.
No, they're not.
But they're top heavy cards.
Yeah,
and there's not a lot going on in terms of like you know storylines or competitive matchups. It's just fights, there's people to see and time.
Yeah, I mean a lot of it is because the fighters fights.
Yeah.
So he's got like these top heavy cards or top two heavy cards, they throw you know, Small Joe or whatever,
yeah.
In there.
Joe Rob.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, sorry. We know a guy named Joe Rob.
Yeah.
Who else? This weekend you had Joseph Benavidez and Figueiredo's for the title, I think. Was it the flyweight title?
Yeah, flyweight title. Yeah. Well, I mean it's supposed to be a flyweight title, but it's only if Benavidez wins.
Yeah, only if Benavidez wins. Obviously, Figueiredo missed weight. I think he missed weight by...
Was it by a lot?
Let me see.
Because if it was more than 10 pounds, then he should... That's his final title shot in a long time.
I don't know if he missed weight. Let me see. It tells me he goes... I think it was two and a half pounds over. Oof. 2.5 pounds over the weight, yeah. So yeah, the only it's still a title fight, but only if Benavidez wins. If not, Figueiredo loses his chance at.
But getting the Romero fight is gonna be the headliner, right?
For this is this weekend.
Oh, I just thought
Romero and Israel is
the following weekend.
Next weekend.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so that's their main event. That's the main event for this weekend. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that card. You have Megan Anderson on there.
God, I hope she loses.
What else? There's not a whole lot of fights out here.
It's gonna be like this until next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of news even. Who's made news this past weekend? Anybody?
No, I think the past weekend plus week is it's all about Dante Wilder and Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury, yeah.
I mean, they got the most coverage.
Yeah. But yeah. So.
Yeah, it's been because I know ESPN was covering that boxing fight, and that's why it got so much buzz because you know. Other like main shows were in Vegas on site. Speaking of Vegas, I wish the UFC would have their fights at the MGM Grand rather than T-Mobile.
I don't even go to Vegas. I don't even bother to like go get tickets anymore, or even like go to a fight.
Because the T-Mobile is made for hockey, right? No,
it's made
like,
for
and like sporting event. Well, not I want to say like sporting
concerts.
Event, concerts, yeah, like hockey concerts, yeah.
Because if you go like the lower end. Cost seats like the cheaper seats, you're all the way up at the top.
Yeah,
it's not even worth going. Yeah.
And I think when they made that MGM arena, they made it specifically for combat sports.
Like MGM and Mandalay Bay were perfect arenas. I loved them, man. Like just going anywhere you sit,
yeah,
you can see the fights, you can see what's happening. You don't even need to watch like any big screens. You could if you wanted to. It was just nice to go. It was just,
and not only that, but like if you're in the if you're staying at their hotel, you can just walk to the arena and back.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right there. I mean,
and I don't know
the T-Mobile like it's a very nice arena. It's right there, right in the middle.
Have you been?
I've been. Yeah,
me too. I've been there for Metallica.
Yeah, I was there for Rolling Stones.
Okay,
but it was
great for a concert venue.
Great for concert venue,
but for a fight, just stick to. The MGM or the Mandalay Bay, like you said,
yeah,
because like they're made for those events.
Yeah,
it is weird how the UFC just has T-Mobile. Like, are they contracted with T-Mobile? Do you have their fights there?
I think so. Which, I mean, it sucks for Mandalay Bay and it sucks for MGM because they're not getting any, like, they must rely on concerts.
Yeah,
because
I remember, like, back in the 90s, too, like, when boxing was, you know, at its peak, all the big fights were at the MGM Grand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's just weird how they have it at the T-Mobile Arena now. It's just it's really stupid.
Yeah. What else have you been up to? I know you're.
Weight
watching. You're pre-diabetic.
Dude, it sucks. It sucks beyond like eating right and
yeah.
It's like it sucks, especially when people around you are eating so well and like eating good and you gotta like.
I've been on it too. I think we've both been on it. Like all last year, I put on 15 pounds last year.
Oh my God. Dude. It's as we get older, it's easy to put the weight on. It's so hard to get
it. It sounds like a lot, but like.
It really is, though.
But when you feel it, even if you lose like 5 pounds, you feel the 5 pound loss, mm-hmm. you feel the 5 pound gain. Like I was always around 185.
Yeah.
Casually working out. You know, not eating that much, and then now, like that all last year, just put on. I couldn't get out of the 200, so I know I was like up there. Even in that weighing myself in the morning, I was at 200, and I was like, not this morning. No, I've dropped some. I think I started doing low carb and being pretty good about it, and low sugars. And just working out 4 or 5 days a week over here in my gym. And
it's tough, man. Because I not only do I do a calorie count, but I also measure my food.
You measure it?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work though. Because I don't even have to do that much. I just make sure I just stay away from stuff.
No, like I look at I read the facts. And I look at the serving size, and like for my lunch. One serving size of spinach is 3 cups. So I have I bring a cup and I just fill the spinach with a cup 3 times to make it 3 cups.
What does Sandra think about the whole you having to lose weight?
She doesn't have to like do it herself, but she's doing it with me. So
she's got to watch herself anyway though, right?
Yeah, because she's diabetic, but she's been really good. Like she's been suffering with me. And then when I'm at her house, we go for like 3 mile walks.
Okay.
And then
where do you guys go walking at?
She's in Fullerton, so there's like really nice walking trails over there. And then like she has like the NutriBullet, so she makes me like smoothie with like kale and stuff. But yeah, it's tough because before I even sit down and eat, I just weigh my food out, measure it, and then I eat it.
That's crazy.
And then I log it in. I log everything in my phone.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work. You think you can keep it up?
Yeah, it's been a week.
A week? Wait, you think you can make it like a lifestyle or is it too much to where you think?
No, I think I already got like the first week was the hardest because my body's just eating like shit and eating and taking so much carbs. Mm-hmm. So when my body wasn't getting those carbs and just getting good stuff, I was still hungry after I ate my meals. I was like starving. It took me like 4 days or about a week for my body to adjust to the diet.
Yeah.
And now I don't get as hungry anymore, okay. Which is good. And after my lunch, my body usually crashes down. Now I'm eating just greens. I get like a burst of energy. It's crazy. Yeah. And I'm sleeping better throughout the night.
Yeah. I think for me, it's like my moods and my energy levels are a lot better.
My moods are better too. Yeah,
just even working out and eating better, definitely the working out part. Like it's a big stress reliever. It's I could go a couple days without doing it, but I already have it preset. Like those are gonna be my days. Mm. But I enjoy it. If I don't do it, then I'm like some days. Like the other day, Sunday, I was like, I'm not gonna do it. I'll take it easy. I haven't had a rest day in a while.
Yeah,
and I went into work. And I was like, okay. I was just like, I was like, I need it. I should have done it. I have too much, you know, I had too much energy. I needed to.
Yeah, you know, I do have one day that I cheat. Mm-hmm. Usually, like on a Saturday, I'll cheat.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty strict with myself, and my sugar intake has been at its lowest. I just drink water or carbonated water.
Yeah.
If I get coffee, I get a sugar-free coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, I do the, like, the almond milk for me.
And then I bought almond milk and I bought oat milk for myself. And then, like...
I haven't done oat milk a lot.
And really. Yeah, it's good. And then the night before, like tonight when I get home, I'll make... I do overnight oats for breakfast. I put like a half a cup of oats.
Liz has done that before.
Yeah. Blueberries, chai seeds. I put one yogurt and then a cup of like almond milk. I mix it together. I seal it up. And then in the morning when I wake up, that's my breakfast.
Yeah. They eat pretty healthy here, and they've cooked pretty decent. You know, like they did a cauliflower rice, which was just chopped up cauliflower. Mm-hmm. It was like cooked cauliflower, and it was like a chicken and like lemon kind of like gravy sauce on top of it, which is pretty good.
Yeah, and then like I go to Chipotle a lot, and I just get the bean, the double beans chicken, and then the spinach on the bottom.
Yeah, or if I make it, I'm doing low carb, but if I do a sandwich, I'll do half sandwiches. Mm. One slice of bread, half sandwich.
But like, you know, this app that I use, it really like motivates you to like, you know, make sure you're on top of the game.
You're on top of
everything. And then like,
I do like what Joey Diaz is, Weight Watchers points.
Oh, points. I know.
Like when did you listen to that one show when I think it was Dean Delray, when they were going over the point system.
Oh, like, yeah.
I got the 2 cups or
there's
that 2 points. Yeah. I have 7 points and I have action points. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's just too much work.
You know? Dude, Dean Del Rey is like, podcast is awesome.
Yeah.
Have you heard it? He had Kirk Cameron on the show.
Oh, yeah. He's the big, like, the Rock fan. He's like a big Rock fan, huh?
Dude, but he has like big guests.
Yeah.
Like, to get Kirk Cameron on your show?
Yeah.
Not over the phone, in studio.
And he's got that East Coast, like,
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
But Kirk, like when they were talking with Kirk Hammett, Kirk like said that he's owned him for years, like 40 years. That's crazy.
That's a long time. 40 years?
He's owned Dean Delray. And Dean Delray said a story when he said he went to James Hetfield and said, "Hey man, good show," and James told him, move on. Like he didn't want to talk to him.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Why?
That's how James is. The dick.
Damn.
But it's like during the like in the like late 80s he did that.
I feel like a god when they're like cheering at you and then
you can tell the crowd to do anything he wants and then they'll do it.
Yeah. And you get home, they don't listen to you.
Yeah, and he goes, "Yeah, I know, I got home and I had to ask my wife, but shut it down right away."
Yeah. See all the concerts going on this freaking...
It's crazy.
I don't know if any of them interest you, but a lot of them do. Like, I already bought... I bought Stained and Disturbed in September. I bought Deftones in August. I got the System, Korn, and Faith No More
in
May. We're going to that one.
I think Korn and Faith No More are having their own tour, right?
They're doing it after that. Yeah, they're doing a summer thing. But I don't know if they're coming over here. I think they're going to be like up north. And, like, they're going to be a couple California dates, but not LA.
Mm.
And then I think I got Action Bronson in May too. I want to go see him. Always go see him when he comes out here. He's got like an album coming out. And then I got one next weekend. It's for Griselda. It's like they're a group, East Coast rap group. But I was always a fan of one of them. But you know he's a part of like a trio.
Mm.
But they're good. They're really good. They did Jimmy Fallon's the other day. And then there's a good one at the Forum. I think they have Journey, Poison, Def Leppard, and Joan Jett on one show. I think it's at the Forum.
Wow.
It'd just be fun to go. I like Journey. I thought that'd be fun to go. I haven't gone to that one. I don't know if I'm going to go to that one. The one I'm definitely going to go to.
The Eagles are playing at the Forum.
Yeah, Eagles. Okay, I think I'm going to go to the Eagles in April, which is on the same. It's on Liz's birthday weekend, which I'm just going to get tickets for.
Mm.
I think they're doing the whole Hotel California album.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's like the 30th, or I don't know what kind of anniversary it is.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think Star Wars had the Clone Wars, their final season.
Yeah, you've been watching
Disney Plus.
I've been binging, so I think what have I been binging? Narcos for sure. Just finished Narcos.
I'm almost done. I need two episodes. I'm binging Vanderpump Rules.
So after were you after this last episode, once you finished Narcos, do you I'll ask you again after once you finished, but would you be up for another season, or you think I should just end?
No. I love Narcos, the Narcos series.
It's like my favorite.
I think they
it's
need like to like show. I think they need to do another season of Narcos Mexico and another season of just Narcos, because you know, I don't know. Well, I haven't seen the whole Narcos. So I don't know how Pacho's story ends on this season, but from the Cali Cartel. But they need to like focus on the Cali Cartel.
Did you watch the other? Have you watched the other?
Yeah, I watched them all. Yeah, but I'm saying like, because history shows that there's another cartel that comes in that takes Cali Cartel out, and they need to tell that story.
Over in Colombia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they should do a third season for each of the Narcos series. Narcos Mexico and regular Narcos.
Regular Narcos. I guess Narcos Colombia. I guess they want to call it Colombia.
Yeah.
Because they could do...
Same name. A narrator, right? From Mexico.
Yeah.
It's crazy because...
And now he's one of the actors in there. He's the actor. He's a DEA guy.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, actually, no. They have whoever narrates it is basically one of the actors in there, like in Narcos and the Colombia one.
Yeah,
the white guy was narrating it.
Yeah,
and in this one, it's the DEA agent is narrating it.
Really? Because yeah. I thought it was the same voice as the blonde guy from Paul Escobar.
No, he was narrating the first Narcos Mexico, and then they show him at the end. When they're like, when they show him and all the other CIA guys or the DEA guys mm-hmm. at the end of the last season, and then now he's like a part of this season. He narrates it again. So yeah, two different white guys basically.
I always thought it was the same white guy from the beginning.
Two different ones.
So this guy is the main DEA agent.
The DEA agent narrated last season, and he's a part of this season. And narrates it as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was this one guy doing...
No, the whole time.
So the whole Narcos Mexico season was someone completely different.
Yeah, someone completely different. Yeah, it's basically the
actor... Is it on the credits?
I think so. Yeah, it's the actor who's in the second season.
Yeah, because I noticed they sound very familiar. Yeah. Familiar.
Yeah, they're very, very similar. And the Narcos, the Colombian story, the Pablo and the Cali, I think it's this...
The same white guy.
The guy from
that the season. Escobar, yeah.
From that season, yeah. So, yeah. That's a show I've been binging. I don't know what else I've... Last couple of weeks, I think it's just been that. But I love the season. I hope they continue it. Yeah, because there's definitely a lot of story they can tell. Because this one's like kind of like a prequel to those. Because it takes place right before, at the height of their power. We all know how the Cali Cartel kind of ends. You know, what happens to those old guys? They all go to jail, end up getting killed and all that. But yeah, what happens to Colombia after that? I'm sure there's people that take over.
Yeah, there is. There's a cartel.
And then we definitely know how, well, we don't know, but like, you know, they introduce some of the characters like El Chapo's in there. Armando,
yeah, el Señor de los Suelos.
Yeah, that's his nickname, right?
Yeah,
like the
Lord of Disguise.
Lord of Disguise. Yeah. He becomes big. Mm-hmm. El Chapo becomes big. So there's a lot of story to tell.
Yeah. I'm excited for whatever comes after.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where they'll take the...
I'd be terrified fucking acting in the show because they're actually in Mexico.
Yeah. Whatever. Fuck that. Actually in Mexico. Mm-hmm.
And the parts that Quad is where...
Shit, yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Let's go to the like Vegas desert and pretend it's Mexico. I don't know.
There's a lot more history, I think, in this season. No? I think there's a lot more of like the historical like videos and a lot of the shaping of Mexico is really in this... season.
Yeah,
like the election,
that was crazy,
like all that stuff. It's just like it's crazy,
it's mind-boggling. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. see what's what. Let's get back to the fights. What else have we got going on this weekend? So yeah, next weekend we have Yoel Romero and Adesanya. I already told you we're planning.
Yeah,
I'm planning a little shindig here at the house. I have a little house project of the backyard and patio furniture restoration, which it's my first time ever doing it. And I've watched a bunch of YouTube videos and it shouldn't be that difficult. But like when I was starting, I was like, oh, fuck, what did I get myself into?
You're officially a husband and father, man.
Yeah. Like all week on my days off, I've just been with my son watching him and just playing with him and just I like just hanging out. It's like, you know, we have our little routine and it's all, you know, just my main focus is to like not only like everything gets done with him, like his teeth are brushed, he's showered, he's got his nap, he eats, he watches like a movie well at least once, he plays with his toys pretty much most of the day. We go out to walk. We go out to kind of do a little walk, which he would be in his car and he'll sit in there, but now he likes to just, he doesn't want to sit in there. He doesn't stay there for that long. So he likes to actually get out and push it.
Oh, man.
It's like a big Hot Wheel to him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so now that we have him in the back. Today we had him in the back, and he was just pushing that thing around. And then he has his little shoes on, his light-up shoes. He got his finally has the light-up shoes. He walks pretty much everywhere now.
That's crazy.
So, and now I got lawn stuff. And so... Barbecue
with dad and husband.
That day we're gonna barbecue, projector, showing the fight. I'm gonna try to restore all the lawn furniture before everybody comes over, and just hang and just chill. I have like a chill day.
Sounds like fun, man.
That's how that goes. But this weekend, some fight picks this weekend. You have.
It's really like a one card.
It is. You have Benavides versus Figueredo. Vacant flyweight title. It's really just up for grabs for Benavides. If he takes it, I think he's definitely the favorite in this fight. Most likely he'll probably end up getting it, and who knows what they do with this division. Yeah, Felicia Spencer in the co-main event versus Zara Farn. Megan Anderson's on the card. Who else is on the card? That is about it.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
I saw it, yeah.
Marcin Tybura is on there. I mean, it's just names I recognize, but then they're fighting people I don't recognize.
Yeah.
It's definitely a one main one card fight. I'll watch it tomorrow. I'm just going to chill. I'll probably be off of work. Maybe I'll do my furniture stuff, and then I'll watch this.
Benavides is my pick.
Benavides. I mean, he's going to be my pick regardless.
Yeah.
Figueredo's really good, but Benavides is just, he's still top notch. I don't know what they're going to do with this division. You think they keep it or think they get rid of it?
I mean, they're going through all this trouble to promote it, so I think they're going to keep it for a while to see how it goes, because they wouldn't be promoting a fight, especially a championship fight for a vacant title, if their plans weren't to keep that title.
And if Benavides can make it a fun, competitive division.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Yeah. You know? That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it. Not even boxing or any of that stuff. I don't think there's anything else really going on this weekend. So catch you guys all next week. We'll break down, recap this, and then, talk about Israel and Romero next weekend, which I'm excited for. So
yeah, me too, man.
We'll catch you guys all next week.
See ya.